Welcome to Career Tools. Today's cast, Admitting Mistakes, Part 2. If you haven't listened to the first part of the cast, now might be a good time to do so. But assuming you have, here we go with the conclusion. So you got to speak up quickly. Make a mistake, you got to admit it.
Right.
But it's not enough, I think, simply to go up to your boss and say, hey, I made a mistake. Because if I'm your boss, I've got a few questions I want to ask. And I expect you to have thought about it a little bit.
Yeah.
So let's talk about those things. It's not just enough to admit it. You need more.
Yeah, you admit it. And then you follow these five recommendations that will essentially address the content of the conversation you're going to have with your boss. Yeah. Now we said act quickly, but we're not suggesting rashly immediately running into the boss and helter skelter saying X, Y, or Z. We're saying take a few moments, organize your thoughts, get the relevant information, put together this briefing, if you will. It's a very short, it's a 2-minute briefing. Hey, here's what happened. Da, 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 da. You just follow the template we're giving you. And good, you know, good gosh, no more than an hour once you've discovered your error or your mistake, even if that means you need to go to your boss with incomplete information. So what we do is we start by describing what happened. You describe your mistake in active language, right? And here's a good recommendation, okay? Be calm and think about delivering a report versus telling a story. And by the way, when I'm coaching folks and they say, how do you stay calm when delivering really big or gnarly information that where there's risk involved. And I have to tell you what every executive I know who's really good at this stuff does. So that's easy. I just do it like Arnold Palmer putts. He says he's never ever made a putt on his first try because he's already putted it 50 times before he puts his putter to the ball, right? You practice doing a thing, what you're going to say 30 to 40, 50 times in your head before you actually deliver it. That's the way you do it. That's the way you get calm. You hear your brain hears it over and over again. And you literally, as a friend of mine once said, Mark, you should have a rut in your brain over what you're going to say. And that rut is going to feel comfortable. In fact, it's harder to get out of the rut than it is to stay in it. That's the whole definition of a rut. And that's because you said it over and over and over and over again. And so the question we have to ask yourself, what is critical that the boss needs to know, right? Don't leave stuff out. You know, you can't tell every possible detail, but generally speaking, you want the boss to understand about the risk. You don't blame anybody else. You stay factual. You say, I'm responsible and here's what I did. This is what I did. And you know, in the case of Jim, says, boss, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I put the training line item in as $800. It should have been $800 million. And by the way, note, he doesn't say there's a mistake in the spreadsheet I sent you or I discovered an error, right? That's something that people like to do. I discovered an error. Well, okay. Yeah, that's not the mistake. That's not the mistake. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You're Sherlock Holmes. I want to put you on all our budgets.
Good
right?
job.
Yeah. Make a mistake and then get credit for fixing it. If it was Rosie, she'd go to her boss and say, look, I made a mistake. I was speaking to this company and I told one of the secretaries she couldn't change her order a third time. And I think that was a mistake, boss, because I've discovered she's the CEO's secretary. Okay. And note, she didn't say the CEO's secretary was mistakenly told or the CEO's secretary is upset because she was told something, right? You don't do that. You say, I told X. I made the mistake. Okay. It's active language, not about what you've done about it or what you're doing now. It's about the mistake you made that started the process along. And then and something else. You mentioned this before about, you know, how much it would take to apologize. You know, it is totally okay to apologize, right? There's too much blame in today's workplaces, and there's not enough taking responsibility and apologizing for mistakes folks make. The mistake that people do is they think, oh, apologies, that's good. That's part of the interpersonal stuff. So I'll apologize profusely and overly so. And if anybody remembers our cast, Amanda Jill's cast from 4+ years ago, we talked about, you know, you say you're sorry, but you don't repeat it and you don't make it so grandiose as to suggest that when you bumped into somebody's car and there's no appreciable mark, say, I'm so sorry. Please let me know how much money I've got. $1,000 cash. You know, just let me know. I can't tell you. I won't be able to sleep tonight. People are like, oh, come on. You know, what you're trying to do is get me to say to you, oh, it's not that big a deal, so you can be let off the hook. The purpose of an apology is not to be let off the hook. It's to express sincere regret. And you only have to do that once. If you do it right, you can express sincere regret. And then they know you've expressed it and you're done, right? You know, you don't want to dwell on your feelings. Don't think you're getting any credit for beating yourself up. If you do that, it's immediately seen as a request for that absolution. And it ends up making your reporting your mistake about you looking good rather than about discussing the risk you created for the organization.
Yeah. It's an attempt at emotional manipulation. People don't like that, really.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah. And look, you high S's, over-apologizing can completely eliminate any value of your admission of guilt. It leaves the sense that you're being narcissistic and making it about you and your pain rather than about, again, the organization's risk.
Good. So you got to prepare to talk about what happened, but you need to be able to talk about the consequences as well. I mean, even if you think your boss will know what the consequences are, you still have an obligation to let them know what you think the consequences are.
Yeah, and I think this is probably even more true for managers than it is for individual contributors. Maybe only 10 for 20% more true, but I'll tell you what. I've seen far too many managers rely on executives to see the implications of the briefings that they're giving. And managers are missing the point. Executives are often area A solving a big problem. If you bring up area C, which is one of their core areas, but they haven't been dealing with it in the last 2 weeks, you better tell them chapter and verse and say, when one happened, two happened, when two happened, three happened. And rather than just saying, so I think you can see where we're going from there, say, and this means at some point we will have risk X about project Y. You have to spell it out.
Yeah, that's just part of professional behavior, right? If you want to be professional, whether you're a manager or executive or not, you have to understand that the consequences of your actions, right? That's part of being professional.
Yeah, and look, people leave it out because one, they think that the boss ought to know. I've already addressed that one. Two, because they don't know what all the consequences are. Well, unfortunately, if you're being given tasks that you're creating risks and you can't see all the implications of your risk or all the implications of your mistake, then you're overtasked. Okay.
Right.
So that's another reason they leave it out. And another reason they leave it out is because they're thinking, well, I don't want to tell the boss because that makes him or her realize how big it is. No, look, in for a penny, in for a pound. Once you've admitted your mistake, you're in front of the boss, you might as well tell him, here are all the possible implications. Now, we're not suggesting that you take a 5% chance of this and multiply it by a 5% chance of that, and then multiply it by a 5% chance of that and say, oh, by the way, we're the cause of global warming. We're not saying that, right? But if there's a natural progression, a reasonable person, a reasonable man, a reasonable manager, executive would follow, then you have to talk about all the implications.
Right. And if you're a professional, again, you should understand the consequences of your actions. Your boss knows that. And here's an opportunity to demonstrate that. Not by over-dramatizing the whole thing, right? That's, like you said, we're not causing global warming here. But the fact is, we have enough intelligence. We know our job well enough to understand and communicate the consequences of our mistake. So, and I've seen this time and time again, you know, you make a mistake, you admit it, you talk about the consequences, and we'll talk about some of the other things you need to talk about. And in the end, your boss walks away, not happy about the mistake, but going, man, that was pretty good. I'm happy this guy, and he made a mistake.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that much because the first few times people do this is going to be, they're going to feel uncomfortable and so on, but there's going to come a time when listeners do this and a boss is going to say, wow, you want to make some more mistakes and own up to them like that and tell me what the implications are and then tell me you're going to fix it. Please make more mistakes. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home and remember not the mistake, but the conclusion we drew from it. Yeah. Look, so we stay simple and factual when we're talking about the consequences. We're not trying to drive emotional or melodrama. We're not trying to create meringue of fear and loathing about this, okay? The thought is not about motivating your boss to take action. Rather, hey, boss, here are the reasonable results of the mistake that I made. And look, you know, I had a boss once tell a coworker that every mistake is a failure. Well, I suppose in a clearly analytical sense or academic sense, that's true. And I also think that's terribly debilitating as a concept. The world does not end from the mistakes of the human race. look, you know, my family are huge Coke fans, Coca-Cola. And
oh, Coke, the drink.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, funny.
Good.
Think about New Recipe Coke, right? Somebody made that decision. I don't know. I know Sergio Zimon was the guy who marketed it. Think about the idea to come up with New Coke. And look, the world didn't end. And the CEO of Coke at that time was Roberto Gosueta, who, by the way, was widely regarded as one of the greatest executive managers in the second half of the 20th century in the United States. So you make mistakes, things happen.
Yeah, he survived.
Yeah, exactly. Very well, in fact. So furthering our examples, in the case of Jim, he might have said something like, look, obviously this is going to affect the rolled up figures, and I need to get you a new version for your boss's deadline, which was midday today, and we're behind. Or Rosie says, I'm afraid she's going to tell her boss, and this is going to affect our relationship with the customer. Simple as that. Now, look, if it sounds simple, it is. But our mistake is we see these problems as a huge big deal because of our career risk. We don't see it about organizational risk. We see about fear of being in trouble. And we hide them, and they become a huge bigger deal. And then we can't see another way of handling them. And the sooner you do it, the smaller it is. As my former business partner once said, you know, if you see a mistake as a little piece of excrement that you're going to have to swallow at some point, and every day goes by, it gets a little bigger, you might as well swallow it when it's small.
Okay. I just get a little taste in my mouth every time you use that example.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah. My point exactly.
Good. So there's another mistake folks make, which is they often, in their fear and embarrassment, they get a little, there's a little myopia that kind of sets in. And you got to get out of that, because the other thing you got to ask yourself is, who else needs to know? Might not be, be just your boss. There might be others that need to be involved because you have affected others.
Yeah, and this is exactly opposite of risk mitigation. If you see your failure as career risk, as individual risk, rather than as organizational risk, and that's how people respond to their mistakes. If you see it as career risk, then mitigation means keeping it to yourself, right? If you see it as organizational risk, mitigation means, and the implications of people working with bad data or essentially not knowing there's a mistake in the works or in the process or bad quality or something come off the line. Organizational risk mitigation when it comes to a mistake that you've identified is to communicate with everybody as soon as possible. So you've got to switch from the personal career risk to the organizational risk. You've got to go from thinking about yourself and thinking about your team, thinking about yourself, as opposed to thinking about the organization. You do that and immediately you go, wow, would I want to know? Would I want to know if that's that guy? I mean, if I could reasonably see seven people that this could affect, would I want to know if I was one of those seven? The answer is yes. If we choose not to tell them, we're putting our own personal preference to avoid getting in trouble over benefit to other coworkers, which sooner or later, you know, it's like my dad said, you can take more than you can give, but only for a little while until they run you out of town. So you have to take responsibility for your action. We need to know the consequences. We need to be able to show other people. We need to be able to tell our boss, here are the people who I think are going to be effective. So be affected by this. So Jim might say, hey, look, Bob is doing the consolidated roll-ups for EMEA. We'll need to send a revised version to him as soon as we get it, and I will do so. For Rosie, it would be something along the lines of, if you agree we need to take action, we'll need to let Robin know because she's the account manager.
A lot of people are probably cringing about the idea of letting more people know about this, right?
Yeah, but again, those high C's, they ought to be getting this right away, right? Which is, I know you want to be right, but the question is not, were you right? Because we've already identified you were wrong, you made a mistake. The question is now, what's the proper analysis? And the proper analysis is organizational risk mitigation, not personal career mitigation. When you make that switch analytically, your answer falls out immediately. It's simple.
Yeah, perfect. So it's probably just enough, frankly, just to admit the mistake, know by the consequences, tell your boss who else is affected, and then just rely on your boss to come up with all the answers on how to fix it, right?
Clearly, if I'm the one that made the mistake, right, I'm not qualified to fix it.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, why would you want the guy who made the mistake trying to fix it? Yeah. No, unfortunately, one of the definitions of professional is a professional does not bring problems to their boss, which they haven't already solved or at least have a plan to address in some way. It doesn't even matter if your solution is completely wrong, particularly in light of the fact that your boss probably knows more than you do. The fact that you've thought about a solution demonstrates professional behavior. And I cannot tell you the number of times that I've had either a deep sigh or a very low sort of growl in the back of my throat when somebody comes in and says, we got a problem. Even if after that they say, hey, I've got an idea about how to fix it. No, don't do that. Don't come in, because when you say that to your boss, okay, I made a mistake and I've got to tell you about it. And then you beat yourself up about it. Like, the boss is already saying, okay, how do I solve this problem, right? I might beat you up later, but how do I solve this problem? The person who comes into their boss and says, we got a problem. Immediately the boss says, oh my gosh, the problem still exists. If you then say afterwards, there's some things I can do. In the boss's mind, that is a problem discussion. Whereas if you say, look, I made a mistake. Here's what I did. Here are the people who are affected. And here's what I'm recommending we do about it. That comes across as I'm bringing you a solution, not I'm bringing you a problem. And now we have to figure it out. Now, what I'm saying, what we recommend is you deliver it matter-of-factly, following this template, this format, which you get comfortable in, and it comes across more naturally every time, and you're delivering a solution to a problem. Yes, you created a problem, but you're not dropping the problem on your boss's desk. You're dropping the problem and the solution, and it's in the delivery, and the delivery needs to be matter-of-fact, and you don't start by saying, oh, we've got a problem, which is one of my pet peeves.
And look, your boss is not going to be happy about the mistake you made, most likely, and so there's nothing you can do about that. But there's no advantage to you whatsoever in lengthening the period of time in which he's in stress or she's in stress because she knows there's a mistake, but she doesn't know what the solution is. So give her the mistake and then give her the solution and just at least limit the time she's in pain. It's amazing how bosses immediately, how their stress levels goes down when they know that there's a correction. There's a way to fix it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that said, help me a little bit, because one of the things we've said, suggested here, is that we admit our mistakes quickly. And sometimes it takes us a little bit of time to come up with a correction to our mistake. And so what do? I want to admit it quickly, yet I don't have an answer yet. I don't have a solution to the problem.
Yeah. Look, the first thing we have to say is don't delay simply because you can't figure out how to solve the problem. Yeah. Okay. Sure. We agree. It's always better to have a solution, but it's only better. It's not required to have a solution in order to admit the mistake. We're recommending you have one if you can come up with one, but if it takes you longer than an hour to come up with one, that doesn't eliminate your obligation to report appropriately. So what do you do if you have no solution? You admit it without a solution. Yeah, look, we admit it's dangerous to do that a lot, but it's still less dangerous than admitting all these problems or making all these mistakes and then trying to hide them. Okay, so you essentially go to your boss and say, I don't know how to fix this. And then you pay very close attention so that never happens again. In our case of Jim, Jim would say, I've already revised the spreadsheet. I've double-checked the remaining figures. That's the only error that I found. Jen is providing me a second check, and she's going to be done in about 10 minutes. Okay? Or Rosie, I think I should call her back and let her know I can make the change for her. I can report back her reaction to both you and Robin. Right? Look, okay, maybe Jim's boss would probably want to check the spreadsheet more carefully before it's sent out. Although there's something to be said for Jim must be good that his boss didn't send it out, didn't check it before. Rosie's boss may want to make the call back himself due to political sensitivities, right? But it doesn't make the solution that they've come up with wrong. Even if your solution is not used, it doesn't make it wrong. The fact that you've owned up and taken responsibility is what's key and important there. Man, look, this part of the conversation when you're talking about the solution could move away significantly from whatever suggestion you're going to make. The boss could take action straight away, literally while we're standing there. It might be that the people are brought in, and everybody who's brought in for the mistake you're making, you're going to know that they knew you made a mistake, and they're going to probably go, wow, better him than me. And at some point, it's going to come out that you were the one that identified it, you were the one that reported, and you stood up and say, hey, I'm responsible. And while you're probably thinking that they're being snide underneath their breath, they're also probably thinking to themselves, man, that was gutsy call.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, if they're professionals, again, better that all the energy in the room is around trying to fix the problem than around the fact that you made a mistake, right? At least that's where the energy is focused.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, good. Now, unfortunately, that's not enough, because the other question the boss can ask, the one I'm going to ask is, okay, dude, you made a mistake. Great. I appreciate it. It's professional to come to admit it. I know what happened. I know who's involved. We've got a plan here on how to fix it. But, dude, you got to tell me, how are we going to make sure this doesn't happen again? Because you can't keep making mistakes, admitting it, even coming up with a solution and doing this 5 or 10 times over the next 6 months. That's not going to work. So you got to be prepared to talk about how you're going to prevent a reoccurrence of the mistake.
Yeah, you got to both think about that, and you got to be prepared to talk about it. You know, if you're listening now and you're early in your career, you've probably complained to somebody that your boss doesn't have the right impression of you, right? This is one of those things you can do to help your boss see you more clearly as a responsible professional. No, we're not saying you can manage your boss, but we can act professionally and believe that the steady drip, drip, drip of positive news and effective professional behavior will win our boss over to us. And look, if you've behaved professionally and responsibly for 2 or 3 years and you're not going to win your boss over, you don't think you ever will, leave. That's a different cast, right? But this is the right thing to do. So Jim might say, in the future, I'm going to alert you to workload issues earlier so I'm not working so close to a deadline, and that I don't skip the step of having somebody else look at the figures just to double check things. Jim could have checked this. Rosie might say, look, in the future, I'm going to tell important customers that I'll call them back after I've consulted you about stuff I'm not sure about. I know that's going to cause some additional work initially, but it's going to help me understand when the rules can be bent for special folks, and it'll prevent situations like this in the future. And again, this goes back to the whole thing. Making mistakes isn't that big a deal. We all make them. I make them daily. And you're not just going from career negative to career neutral. If you see it as an organizational risk versus a personal career risk, you can go to career positive by behaving professionally about it.
Dude, absolutely agree.
So wrapping up, look, as Mike brought up the key point about at what level do we apply this, right? We can't deny that some of you are privately always going to think that you're fast enough and clever enough to not admit your mistakes and get away with some combination of passive language, sliding by, fixing things quickly, and so on. We would just argue that career tools, no one set out, Mike and I didn't set out. We don't expect you to listen to us just because career tools is about what you can do. Yeah, you can get by doing that. We're talking today, as always, about what it means to be a professional. And this is the professional way to address your mistakes. That little voice you have in your head is shared by everybody. That we all hear that same voice saying, stand up, or, well, maybe you could slide by this time. And even if nobody else says so, when you make a mistake and sweep it under the rug, they know you did. Or at least that you caused it. And then they think maybe they give you some props, and they also secretly wish that you had stood up more because they're doing extra work because of it. We've said it before. What everybody's talking about is what's not being said, right? We made this point earlier, but I just want to touch on it again. For you managers out there, two thoughts. Look for passive language from your directs. It's always a sign of something amiss. And second, managers, be bold. Ignore the mistake. And give positive feedback. Instead of giving negative feedback for the mistake, give positive feedback for the admitting to it. You're going to get more admissions earlier, able to fix things before they get out of hand. And you're going to get less of the former, less of the mistakes. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
So admit it quickly, emphatically, and actively. Tell your boss what happened, what are the consequences, who else needs to know, how you're going to fix it, and how you're going to prevent it in the future. And you're on your way.
Excellent. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks, partner.
We'll see you. Thanks for joining us, everyone. We'll see you all again next week. Have a great one. So long.